Very good job, genius.
Oh, go on.
Kasich seems like
he wants you to go on. That's why Steve said to go on. He wants more.
Although there is a picture of my Catholic friend and me.
That's Steve, you're talking about Steve Bertrand,
yes,
right?
Yeah. Because people think we fight and we don't like each other, but we were hugging with our ashes. It's up on our Facebook
page. Yes. A very poignant photograph. Is that
kind
fair
of
to
weird
say?
You touched my ash like that, but
he has to cheapen everything. Everything, I tell
Come
you.
Come on, it's fine.
Steve Bertrand is a genius. What did you say? What were your famous words before the New Hampshire primary?
My famous words were that you could believe anything that Kristen tells you. That's my genius.
Kristen McQuarrie is here. That's not what he wants to tell.
No, people were saying, and I mean, it wasn't my, I was listening to others, but that John Kasich was sort of poised to have a good day. And that everyone was sort of, the rumble was about Kasich going into the voting yesterday. I think it's fascinating how Chris Christie took out Marco Rubio but didn't benefit from it. It's almost like New Hampshire didn't want to reward the bully either. So they didn't vote for either one of those guys.
So can I ask, what was the tactic behind that? And Steve, you can answer that. Or Kristen, you can answer that. As this was going on, as Chris Christie makes the decision, I'm going to take somebody out, and that somebody is you, Marco Rubio. Why was that the move, do you think? What did he have to gain in that?
I mean, I almost think it was a little more organic. I know there's a story floating around that they had a little fight backstage beforehand, and Christie told Rubio to his face that he was going to try to take him down. But I don't think you could have predicted. Rubio on the campaign trail has been very robotic.
Yeah.
But I don't know that you could have predicted he would have, you know, fallen apart as much as he did. And Christie reminded me of the 1980 debate between Ronald Reagan and Jimmy Carter, when Ronald Reagan kept saying, "There he goes again," because he was getting his record distorted. And Christie just whispering into the microphone, "There it is again," was so effective. It really, I mean, it just made Marco Rubio so vulnerable where he is vulnerable. Yeah. You know?
But Rubio did have the target on simply because he did so well in Iowa. So he was the guy who all the other Rands were sort of worried was going to run away with it and be the top of the other Rand. So that's why Christie had been focusing on him, you know, calling him the boy in the bubble all week and things like that.
Now, to his credit, to Marco Rubio's credit, he has copped to this. He has said, "I didn't have a very good showing on Saturday, but you're not going to see this again."
Right. Yeah. I mean, that was in his speech to voters. Yeah. Was, you know, I don't really think he owes people an apology. Everyone slips up a little bit on the campaign trail. But yeah, I mean, he almost looked like he was going to burst out into tears and said, "I promise you it won't happen again."
The problem is now anytime he gets close to repeating himself, people are going to think it's happened again. You know, it's
right.
That's sort of the frame he's wearing now, or the narrative they're going to be watching for.
But it's a good move to address when everybody knows something, your best move is to address it and cop to it. So I'm not the biggest fan of his, but I do give him some credit for saying, "Yep, I did not have a good night." Barack Obama, who you just heard speak here on the station for a while, he admitted that in the first debate last time when he was going up in the presidential debates. He had that first debate was horrendous, and he admitted to it. Said, I didn't have it.
And he didn't prep well. I think Obama admitted during that debate that his handlers kept wanting him to sit down and rehearse, and he kept shoving them aside. And there's a story floating, I think it was in the New York Times, that this kind of the same thing happened with Rubio. They were trying to prep him for this debate, and he kept getting phone calls, and he kept getting interrupted, and they think maybe that played into his performance.
We're chatting with Kristen McQuarrie, a member of the Tribune editorial board. We're talking about New Hampshire last night and the full-blown totals here for the Republican side. Donald Trump, 35% of the vote. John Kasich, 16% of the vote. Is Ben Carson still in the running at this point?
He did not do well.
He might 2%. Not be. By the time we finish our broadcast here, he might have dropped out. You know, Carly Fiorina just dropped out.
Yeah. And she had more. She had 4%. She was over Ben Carson, and she bailed.
Carson was 2%. His new nickname is Milk, because that's what he's at, 2%.
Great.
So,
and Chris Christie rumored to be maybe bailing.
Right? He might be bailing. I mean, this is all, you know, Christie did not get the bump that he was hoping for in New Hampshire. It costs a lot of money to run these campaigns. And if you don't have money to get your ground game going now in South Carolina and Nevada, you're done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any major surprises coming out of yesterday? I mean,
Bernie Sanders 60%, Hillary Clinton 38%. Yeah. Is that a surprise to everyone else? Because I'm shocked.
You know, I'm not as surprised because Bernie Sanders is the senator from next door. He's wildly popular. He's well known. This was his crowd. They wanted to, you know, send a message. I think it was an aberration more than it is going to be the case. I think he's not going to do very well in South Carolina. I think people were surprised that, well, I don't want to use the word, the verb, but that Hillary got sacked as much as she did. That's a wide margin.
Okay, and so you're thinking that maybe he won't do well in South Carolina, but people want to vote for a winner. So doesn't that sometimes maybe change people's views? Like, wow, he's that much in front of Hillary? Maybe I will vote for him.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely helps you with momentum. I mean, look what happened to Marco Rubio when he sort of surged in Iowa. He was the superstar coming into New Hampshire. So, but it's really more about momentum, I think, than anything else. And South Carolina is a much more diverse state. It's bigger. It reminds me in some ways of Illinois, where you have really liberal pockets.
Yeah.
And then if you go to Southern Illinois, you are in another universe. And South Carolina's voting block is similar, where you have really strong evangelical voters who will probably migrate toward Ted Cruz. And then you have strong Second Amendment, gun rights, union households that I think will probably gravitate toward Trump.
So what happens when, and we've seen almost every candidate do this, they kind of morph into whatever state they're campaigning in.
Yeah.
What does a candidate do when a state itself is so divided in sections like you just mentioned? Do you play it county by county?
I think you're going to hear a lot of Southern little slang coming
right.
out. You know, they're going to be eating barbecue and
hey y'all,
yeah. they're going to
so
get
that
their groove
plaid
on.
Shirt. Will Bill Clinton bring that lumberjack plaid shirt to South Carolina?
He has to.
Oh, that's not working for him.
Yeah,
bring the saxophone back out.
Yeah, I think it will be a better represent. You know, it'll just be a better dissection of the country.
Yeah.
South Carolina. I say that, however, Newt Gingrich won the Republican primary 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a pretty hard right selection, in my opinion.
What do you think will happen going forward? Everybody talks about this being the election where all the rules are out the window. Anything can happen. Will things get more and more outrageous 4 years from now and 8 years from now and 12 years from now?
I don't know that they'll get more outrageous. I almost feel like this election has been a much needed correction, and maybe candidates will be less scripted,
yeah,
and more, you know, honest and forthright in answering questions and less messaged. And so I actually, it could turn out to be, you know, more of a correction than something outlandish happening.
I know this is a strange comparison, but let me try my best to do this. I was remembering when our mayor ran against Chuy Garcia, and everybody kept saying, Chuy Garcia is doing so well, not because of who he is or what he represents, but because voters want something different. Now we're seeing that on a national level where people are going, Donald Trump is kind of a questionable character, but it proves that people want something different. We all seem to want something different, but are we being offered the correct options in something different?
I mean, if you're a Republican voter or even on the Democratic side, that's why Bernie is so popular, because people want something different. So I don't think we can complain that we haven't been given options.
Right.
That Republican field from the beginning has been full of, you know, very accomplished, varied public figures, some in public life, some not. So I don't think we can really. The Democratic side is the one where I think if I were voting in a Democratic primary, I'd be more disappointed.
Yeah.
Republicans have given us a lot of choices.
But now if you look at just the let's go to the Republican side. We have a business guy, excuse me, in Donald Trump. We have a businesswoman, had a businesswoman in Carly Fiorina. We had a surgeon in Ben Carson. So that's three people that were not from the world of politics all of a sudden thrust into the forefront of running for president. In 4 years, 8 years, 12 years, is that going to be more and more of a thing of people of other backgrounds, not in politics, deciding anyone can run for president, I'll just do it?
I hope so. I mean, we're still waiting to see if perhaps Michael Bloomberg is going to jump in.
Now, when will we know that?
He has to start getting on the ballot in all of these states as an independent candidate by probably the first week in March.
So soon.
And I just think logistically that's going to be really tough.
And financially, Bloomberg is a far richer man than Donald Trump is.
I didn't even know it was possible.
Yeah.
But he is. He is a quadruple gigantic billionaire.
So for the general public, and I've used this comparison before, but the knock on Mitt Romney was, this guy is so rich, he doesn't understand what the problems are of America. Now we've got a couple of guys, one for sure, possibly a second, who are even richer than that. Do they understand the problems of America?
I mean, they're making the case that they do. And I mean, Donald Trump is resonating with that same voter who maybe 4 years ago was not happy with Mitt Romney because he was, extremely wealthy. But look at their personas.
They're totally different.
They're just totally
Trump is
different.
Almost, if I dare say this, more of a regular guy. I know he's not really, but more so than Mitt Romney for sure.
Right, and he's
crass. He's.
Yeah, I was just going to say. Do you mean regular guy from the personality standpoint?
Yes.
Of, yeah.
Okay. Yes.
I mean, remember how careful Mitt Romney was in everything he said, and so he got caught up when people were talking about, why don't you have more diversity at your company? And he said, well, I had people come to me with binders full of women, and we were trying to, and just that phrase. Look at what Donald Trump gets away with.
Yeah, I know.
It's really a different universe this time around.
Kristen McQuarrie is here from the Chicago Tribune. We will continue our discussion. If you want to be part of it, 312-981-7200. You can call or text Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Boy, if I had to vote today, I'm telling you right now, I have no idea who I'd vote for.
Tomorrow on the show, we will do an election of sorts where mock the vote.
Mock election.
People
like
can
it.
Call up, Bertrand they'll wear mock turtlenecks, and they can tell us who they're going to vote for president. We're already getting, and this is no surprise, we're getting possibilities of who could be a running mate for all the front runners. Any names you're hearing, Kristen, that make sense right now?
Well, somebody to watch, especially during this next primary, is Nikki Haley, the governor of South Carolina. She's always mentioned as someone who's just wildly popular. She has a great background, conservative record. So she's up there. I mean, I wouldn't rule out Carly Fiorina. I don't know what her relationships are with the other candidates. And of course, if it's Trump, I would not expect.
It seems frosty with Donald Trump.
Who is he going to pick?
I don't know. I don't know.
Isn't that intriguing in itself?
There was something today that Ben Carson is a possibility as a running mate for Donald Trump. That's a possibility.
That's a possibility, too. I mean, you would get a diverse ticket.
Yeah.
He does have that really strong faith-based following that Donald Trump does not.
Right.
But I just think Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton is going to be a really – that's going to be tough.
Yeah.
The demographics in the country make it really difficult for somebody like Donald Trump to win when he's been so anti-immigration reform. And the Latino populations in a lot of these key states are growing. It's just demographically going to be challenging.
Yeah.
I am totally going to do my homework because, I would love to see a woman in office. I don't know if Hillary's the right woman. I am really bothered by people just saying, oh, she's a liar. You can't trust her. I don't know if we can trust. That's not such a weird thing. Can you believe in someone entirely to do the truth and tell the truth during their term?
Well, right. I think people who I don't have this visceral reaction to Hillary Clinton like some people do. I don't want four more years of the same administration. So she's not on. I'm not on her team. But what bothers me is that people expect that because you're a woman, you're automatically going to be more inclined to vote
Madeleine
for a woman.
Albright said it best. Shame on her.
I guess I'm going to hell because I find that to be just so insulting to our intelligence as women that, we don't take other factors into consideration like economic policy, et cetera.
All right. I know you're saying that and I agree with you, but here's the weird thing. 8 years ago, when Hillary Clinton was obviously not going to be the candidate for the Democrats, when it was going to go to Barack Obama, people then started to say, I was working at another radio station at the time, and people were saying, well, then we're going to vote Republican because Sarah Palin is a woman. So even though we think it doesn't matter, woman or not woman, there were plenty of people out there who were saying, just by mere fact that Sarah Palin is a woman, they would get my vote. That's crazy to me.
Yeah, it doesn't reflect how I vote, but it certainly does reflect how many, many people vote. And if it's not women, it's people who vote on a single issue, like pro-life, pro-choice. There are lots of single-issue voters out there, and there is a group who, if you're a woman, you're gonna stick with the female candidate,
right.
No matter what.
What is the exact quote? I'm looking for it.
While you're looking for it, oh, do you know it?
She said, "There's a special place in hell for women who don't help other women."
Right.
And she was basically
saying,
it's a little much, you know.
What was Gloria Steinem saying the other day that she thinks that the reason women are so on the bandwagon of Bernie Sanders is because men are on the bandwagon for Bernie Sanders? And that's a very non-Gloria Steinem thing to say.
I have no idea if she was, like, on drugs or...
Well, she's apologized.
She has apologized. She basically said that, like, we like to chase men.
Yeah.
That women like to chase men, so that's why... I mean, I know. It's just... You know what? She's old. We need to get... Let's move on. She does not reflect...
All right.
And this came out, the New York Times, days after two of Hillary Clinton's most prominent female surrogates, Madeleine Albright and Gloria Steinem, drew fire for their comments about young women supporting Senator Bernie Sanders. Another Clinton surrogate proposed that the two women be pulled from campaigning for Mrs. Clinton, saying it's not a good idea. On a conference call with elected officials supporting Mrs. Clinton on Tuesday, Deb Goldberg, the Massachusetts state treasurer, suggested that Ms. Albright and Ms. Steinem be kept away from Ms. Clinton's campaign, according to a person briefed on the call who had only discussed the private conversation without attribution.
Yeah.
Because that is pissing women off.
Yeah, it's very divisive. It's not, it doesn't reflect true feminism. I mean, true feminism is voting for whom you like and doing what you want in life, whether it's staying home or working.
Right.
Or so this whole idea that as women we have to fall in line is
right.
Very anti-feminist to
She's
me.
One of the architects of modern feminism. How could she get that wrong?
I mean, this was Madeleine Albright. She was speaking to a women crowd. I'm sure she thought it was just going to be a funny one-liner
and we're
maybe taking it too seriously.
Yeah.
She didn't really mean it.
And Gloria Steinem's, when you're young, you're thinking, where are the boys? The boys are with Bernie. Implying that we go where the boys choose?
I know.
Seriously?
Yeah.
That's surprising. And again, she has since recanted that a little bit, rethought it a little bit. It is too late. There's several calls for you, Kristen. 312-981-7200.
Which one, Bill?
Go to John.
We don't have a lot of time here. So, hi, John.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone.
We've got about 30 seconds, so hop in.
Quickly, I'll say I'd like to see Donald Trump and Rowdy Roddy Piper together as a team. But
right.
More importantly, I think what's great about this mix, love or hate any of them, is that it's kind of in line with the way the four founders set up things, where they all had day gigs. They came, they did their civic duty, they went home and back to their day gigs. And I think that's why the system is completely upside down now, because the advent of the career politician, you get in, you just want the power, you want the free health care and all the perks that go with it. And that's where the super PAC money comes from and everything else, because they just become like little puppets in a chair. If we go back to like 1776, and only allow people in there for a limited amount of time, I think 99% of our problems would be fixed.
That's why we're trying to push for term limits in Illinois, because it does, you get a little comfortable in these jobs, and it's easy to coast, and you get paid well. I mean, look at the state legislature. It's a part-time job that pays up to $76,000 a year.
Yeah, with a pension.
With a pension. You know, cheap health care.
Right.
It's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
And you really, you know, once you get in there, you just show up at pancake breakfast and you shake hands and you don't necessarily have to tackle big problems.
Right.
That's
right.
A nice point. Thank you, John. And
Roddy Piper, by the way, no longer with us.
Oh.
I hate to. If he was on Donald Trump's list of potential vice
couldn't
presidents.
Couldn't you see that, though? Couldn't you just see if Trump gets it, and my running partner will be. I could see it.
Yeah.
I could see him going somewhere like that. If anything, we have to give Donald Trump a lot of credit for really shaking things up.
Right.
I really believe that.
People are paying more attention. So.
And we want something different, you know?
They are. I mean, he's really knocked this whole Republican slate off of their game. And I think it needed to happen, because I, for one, don't like the robotic remarks from candidates. I want some genuine people. I want authentic. And like him or not, he's definitely authentic.
Yeah, no question. Kristen, thank you.
Am I going to have to say President Trump sometime?
I told you to start practicing.
I know you did.
Start practicing. It's not easy. Kristen McQuarrie writes for the Tribune. You should read her whenever you get a chance. Thanks, Kristen.
Thank you.
We'll take a quick break and find out what's coming up next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.